guests with us into the tithe and offering basket. Thank you guys so much. You know, guys, we are in this new series entitled The Hard Sayings of Jesus. We're going to be continuing that today. But before I bring up our speaker, if you've never checked us out on our social media sites, we'd love for you to do that right here in service. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can check us out there on Facebook. You can rate us there on Facebook. That would really help us continue to reach out to our great community. Guys, today you got a great treat. Our campus director, Vince Ruta. Vince, come on up. Give Vince a big hand clap. Is going to be speaking to us today. The thing about Vince is Vince has got the best beard and the best smile at Bethel. When Vince smiled, I said, Vince, you got the greatest smile in the world. Man, I wish I had your teeth, not your beard, champ. My wife would not like that. But Vince is a tremendous leader here, and he's got a great word for us. God bless Vince. Minister through our friend today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, Bethel. How are you this morning? Good. So we have been in this series entitled The Hard Sayings of Jesus. This is actually a series that we did on the college campus a couple semesters ago. And it's an intriguing series because the goal was basically to go through everything that Jesus says and to try to take the things that were either hard to understand or hard to accept and really begin to explore what did Jesus mean by these things. And so I have a hard saying this morning that is difficult but beneficial to talk about, and that's the topic of forgiveness. It's difficult because of the very serious nature of what happens to us when we get offended by someone or something, how hard forgiveness can be. But it's beneficial because the ultimate way to live out a healthy relationship, the ultimate way to actually have sustaining relationships with the people around you, is to learn this thing of forgiveness. And my hope this morning is that we would learn how to live out forgiveness and also have an accurate definition of what forgiveness really is. Jesus helps us to understand with a parable that we're going to read in Matthew chapter 18. And ultimately, at the very end of this parable is our hard saying that we're going to take a look at. Let's pray, and then we're going to read Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness. And I thank you, God, that you are a God who speaks. And I ask this morning that you would speak to every person in this room. God, that your voice would be the voice that they hear through your word and through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, but he did not have the means to repay his lord. His lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. The lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then, summoning him, his lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. When I was in ministry school, I had a preaching teacher, and one of the greatest lessons that he taught us is that anytime you're going to prepare a sermon or any type of material, you should prepare 30 days in advance. And the reason that you should prepare 30 days in advance isn't because it takes 30 days to gather information and to figure out what you want to say, but you need to give God time to work the message into your heart so that you're not preaching something that you just know intellectually and have never actually lived out. And so, about 30 days ago, I knew I was going to be preaching this text on forgiveness on this Sunday, and I begin to pray and I begin to ask God, Lord, I want to know forgiveness from a heart level and not just a head level. And then I stopped. And I begin to realize what I was actually asking for. And if you know me well, you know that there have been many times in the last month where I had opportunity to offer forgiveness. But one in particular that I find would be most applicable to our story today. My wife and I, we adopted our first son about a year ago, and it was the greatest experience of my life. I think we have a picture of him. Adopting him and becoming his parents have been probably the most exciting thing that I've ever done. And we loved it so much that this past January, we really felt like God was calling us to adopt again. And so we began to the process, which is often very long and very difficult, of finding another baby that we would be able to adopt. About 30 days into the process, we got a phone call that a pregnant woman in Florida wanted us to adopt her baby. And we were thrilled. We were beyond excited because usually something that takes months, if not years, had just happened to us within a few weeks. And so we began the steps of adopting this baby. And one of the things that is common practice in adoption is when you're matched with a pregnant woman, you provide financially for her during the course of her pregnancy, which is a tremendous honor and a great responsibility that you'd be able to look your child in the eyes when they're grown and say, I've done everything I could to provide for your first mom. And so we began to do that over several months. We gave a lot of money in order for this birth mother to be taken care of. And about the time the baby was due to be born, we drove down to Florida, and we were very excited. And the night that she was supposed to check into the hospital, we didn't hear anything. And it seemed kind of strange. And so the next day, we wake up, and we were so excited because we thought we were about to get to go and meet our son for the first time. And we found out that she never checked into the hospital. And so we got in the car, we started driving back home. You could imagine the disappointment and the frustration and the questions that we had. About a week later, we found out that she did have the baby, that she decided she wanted to keep the baby herself, which she was completely in her right to do. But we also learned that the baby had tested positive for all different kinds of drugs. And most likely, all of the money, if not a lot of the money that we had been giving her, had been used for her to purchase drugs with. And so we felt betrayed. We felt hurt. And my wife and I, we realized that we had a decision to make. We could either forgive this woman or we could hold on to the anger and the bitterness that was in our hearts. And honestly, it wasn't even really a question of what we were supposed to do. Because I know how much I've been forgiven. I know that the things that I've done wrong, I've not only done to man, but I've done wrong towards God. And yet I have been unconditionally forgiven from Him. And so we forgave her. And it wasn't easy, but it was what we knew we were supposed to do. And every single one of us, any time that a serious offense happens to us, or even a minor offense, we're faced with the decision. Do I forgive, or do I hold on to this offense? In this parable, we see Peter approach Jesus, and Peter was kind of a hotshot disciple. He thought he knew everything, and he comes up to Jesus, and he says, how many times should I forgive my brother? Should I forgive him seven times? And that, in their context, was actually forgiving seven times per day. The cultural norm was that you would forgive somebody three times in a day. So Peter, as holy as he was, thought that, I'm going to ask Jesus if I should forgive seven times. We'll see what Jesus thinks about me then. And Jesus looks at him and he says, no, you should forgive seven times 70 times in a day. That's a lot of forgiveness for one day. The point that Jesus was trying to make was that we shouldn't count how often we have to forgive. We shouldn't hold anything against anybody and call it forgiveness. He begins to tell a parable about this slave who has the equivalent of millions of dollars in debt to the king. And the slave is about to be thrown into debtor's prison by the king to be tortured until the payment could be repaid. And the slave begins to beg the king for mercy. And the king gives mercy. The king releases forgiveness and completely lets the slave go without anything that he would now owe. You can imagine how you would feel if you had hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars of credit card debt, and all of a sudden it was just completely wiped away. You didn't have to file bankruptcy. You didn't have to lose everything you have. You would leave there ecstatic. This slave left, and he found one of his fellow slaves who owed him $10. And he grabbed him and started choking him and said, you must pay me back this $10. And he couldn't pay. After pleading for mercy, the slave threw him into prison until he could pay it back. Well, the king finds out what this forgiven slave has done and summons him and gets angry with him and then throws him into prison. And then we have our hard saying that if you don't forgive your brother as this slave didn't forgive, you would be thrown into prison and tortured in the same way. Anytime Jesus tells a parable, can't say that word this morning, he wants us to find ourselves in the story. We are the forgiven slave. Our debt towards God, though maybe you've never done something really seriously wrong, maybe your sins you feel like are only minor, because of the holiness of God, the debt we have towards God, no matter how little you feel like it may be, is actually extraordinary. It's $1 million debt that can never be paid. And God has chosen to completely forgive you and to never hold it against you, just as the slave was completely forgiven. When we go out and we don't forgive other people from our heart who wrong us, we're acting the same way this forgiven slave acted. When we refuse to offer forgiveness, we're actually saying that I'm in a higher place than God. Anytime that you refuse forgiveness or you withhold forgiveness from somebody, you're saying that even though Jesus unconditionally forgives and pardons all people, I'm not going to forgive you. A lot of times we have this very wrong definition of forgiveness that we use. We know we're supposed to forgive, and a lot of times we'll even say things like, well, I forgive this person, but I'm not going to hang around them. I forgive you, but I want nothing to do with you. I forgive you but this, or I forgive you but that. And sometimes the worst thing we do is we tell the person we forgive them, but in our hearts we still hold those offenses against them. There's a big difference between what I'll call conditional forgiveness and unconditional forgiveness. The reality is that conditional forgiveness isn't actually forgiveness. When you have certain conditions and criteria that people have to meet in order for you to release them from what they've done wrong to you, you're not really forgiving them, you're making them pay back the debt. I thought I knew things about forgiveness until I got married. It's amazing how the people closest to you are the hardest people to forgive. But it's also the relationships that need forgiveness the most. So my biggest pet peeve in my life is when people don't do what they say they're going to do. It is my number one pet peeve. And you might think like, well, that's a pretty normal thing to expect of people. Yeah, but I'm like extreme about it. If you don't do what you tell me you're going to do, I judge you. I look down on you. It takes a lot of Jesus reminding me that I've done these things as well. And my poor wife, she probably experiences the worst of it. So we have this agreement in our house that I hate doing the laundry. I can't stand doing the laundry. It's a process that's terrible and agonizing. But I love to do the dishes. I have no problem with dishes. I can clean dishes all day long. And so my wife and I have this like unspoken agreement that I'll do all the dishes if once a week she'll just do all the laundry. And so I'm faithful to my end of the deal because I said I was going to do it. But then there'll be times where I come home and the laundry's not done. And that's okay. I don't care that much until you run out of underwear. As soon as you're out of underwear, it becomes a big problem that there's no laundry. So I'll just very gently, I'll just be like, honey, I just want you to know I'm out of underwear. It'd be really great if you could do the laundry today. Okay, no problem. And so I'll leave the house, I'll go to work, I'll come back later, and laundry's not done yet. And I'll just be like, the laundry's not done, and I don't have underwear to wear like in the morning, and we're about to go to bed. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, we have this one-year-old, and I chase him around all day, and like I do stuff when I'm at home. I say, oh, no, I forgive you, I understand. But then I'll walk around the house like a four-year-old with a temper tantrum. I'll like stomp my feet, I'm angry, I'm mad, and I do it without underwear on because she didn't hold up what she said she was gonna do. Though I told her that I forgave her, in my heart, what I was really saying was, go do the laundry tonight. I can assure you that there are many more times that she has to forgive me than I have to forgive her. But of course, I'm not going to share those ones with you. A lot of times we think that when we do forgive people without holding anything against them, without ever holding it over their heads, by releasing forgiveness in our hearts, that, well, that's not going to change the other person. And there is a place for loving confrontation. The thing about forgiveness, though, is unconditional forgiveness isn't meant to change them. It's meant to change you. And when you forgive somebody unconditionally, it's not only going to bring healing into your heart, but it's actually going to speak really clear to them about how much you actually love them. A lot of times we'll say, well, well, you don't understand what my spouse has done. It's not that he just didn't do his chores around the house, but he's betrayed me, or she's betrayed me, or they don't listen to me, or I've tried, I've pleaded with them, I have forgiven them, and they haven't changed. They don't deserve it. But that's the point of forgiveness, is that nobody actually deserves to be forgiven. You and I don't deserve to be forgiven the $1 million sin debt that we have against God, yet we are. One of the hardest people it can be to forgive is the person that doesn't acknowledge that they've actually done anything wrong. It's hard to forgive someone when they're not sorry. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, you've heard that it was said to love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. Here's the thing. Your spouse, your coworkers, your family, they're not your enemies. But oftentimes, when they do something wrong against you repeatedly and refuse to acknowledge their wrongdoing, they're setting themselves up as your enemies. In Luke 6, it says, Jesus was teaching on this, and he said, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. My dad, in trying to teach me this when I was a kid, would tell a story from his childhood when he was learning about turning the other cheek. And my dad loved the saying, turn the other cheek. And he talks about how one day on the playground, he was in eighth grade, and this kid came up to him and started picking a fight with him. And this kid cocks back and just jacks my dad across the face. And my dad's getting ready to fight, and he remembers, I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. So he stops, and he says, you know what? He turns his face, he says, you can hit me right there. And the guy looks at him like, what is wrong with you? Like, I just punched you. What do you mean I can hit you again? And the guy gets ready to punch him again, and my dad stops him, and my dad says, wait a minute, though. This time, you better knock me out, because if you don't, I'm coming after you. That's not what Jesus meant when he said to turn the other cheek. What Jesus was communicating was to turn the other cheek meant to re-offer your offender your relationship again. Continue to love and treat that person as though they haven't done anything against you. In 1 Peter it says, do not return evil for evil or insult for insult, but give a blessing instead. It's amazing the things that will happen in your relationships when you treat people the opposite of the way they actually deserve to be treated. And here's where you find the grace to do it. It's in the fact that Jesus has treated you differently than you actually deserve to be treated. He didn't deserve crucifixion. You did. Yet he takes it for us. And he treats us as perfect sons and daughters, as equal brothers and sisters, though we don't deserve it. We have a student that has been in our ministry at Austin Peay for some time. And when he first started coming around, he started to tell us all of these things about his life and about his past. And he was trying to make a point with everything that he was saying, and we believed him. And months went on, and eventually he pulls me aside and he says, Vince, I need to be honest with you about something. I've lied to you about so many things about my past and my life. And it wasn't just me he lied to. It was an entire group of people that he was hanging out with. And I looked at him and I said, man, I forgive you. And I want to get to know the real you. I still want to be your friend. I want to know what's going on in your life. And he went off and we had an event that night. And the next day, he comes up to me again and he goes, you know, I'm really confused by the way you responded to me, because I feel like there should be some sort of punishment or something like that. I don't know, when people aren't around Christianity, maybe they think like we're like going to punish you for doing something wrong. But he's just like, I just feel like how can you just forgive me like that, is what he actually said. And I told him, I said, you don't understand. What I've done is far worse than what you've done, because my sins are against a holy God. You've just lied to me. That changed his perspective and his view on who God was. And it made God more approachable to him. This all sounds wonderful, except for some of you, you've been through situations and circumstances that I know very little about. You've been through abuses, you've been through betrayal, you've been through pain that I couldn't possibly just stand here and tell you, oh, forgive that person, because I don't know what that's like. Jesus understands on the deepest level every single ounce of pain and suffering that you've ever felt. What Jesus was doing when he died on the cross is he was, yes, paying for your sins, but he was also uniting himself to you forever. He was uniting his life to yours. He was saying every pain, every suffering, everything that you've ever gone through, I'm going to take it. And he uttered the famous words on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus wasn't only talking about those who were crucifying him. He was also talking about your offender. Jesus says, however you treat the least of my brothers and sisters, you have treated me. When somebody has hurt you, they have hurt Jesus. He understands your pain and your suffering. My wife and I, we were able to forgive this mom. Not because of a threat that we read in the Bible. That wasn't Jesus's point. But because I knew that I have been completely forgiven. And some of you need to know that no matter what you've ever done in the past, no matter what sins you've ever committed, regardless of whether the people you've offended have forgiven you, God has forgiven you. There's no sin that is too big for God to forgive. What Jesus is trying to say in this hard saying isn't, hey, you're going to be tortured if you don't forgive. But he's trying to say that when you have experienced the forgiveness of God, you will naturally forgive the people around you. And I would say that if you're at a place where you're struggling to forgive, what I want to pray is that you would encounter God's forgiveness for your life in a greater way. That you would encounter His grace in a greater way. And we're also going to take a moment here and pray, and I want to ask God to reveal to you those people that you haven't yet forgiven. To reveal to you those circumstances or those situations that you have held on to and you have harbored in your heart that have actually affected all your other relationships for decades. I want to ask God to put His finger on those places and to lovingly give you the grace to be able to forgive. Father, we thank You. We thank You that we are forgiven. We thank You that You have adopted us into Your family as Your sons and Your daughters, and that we are unconditionally pardoned because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. God, I ask for every one of us struggling in the area of forgiveness that you would reveal to us the forgiveness that we've received. And God, I ask for grace to be able to forgive the people that have offended us. As you're thinking about those people right now, you don't have to say this out loud, but I just want you to say in your heart, I want you to make the decision in your mind, I forgive this person. I forgive them. I'm not going to treat them as an offender, but I'm going to treat them as Jesus treats them. Father, I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for the process of forgiveness that many of us are going to begin to walk out. I ask for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's give God a big hand.